ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये. We're continuing in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Tato Jayam Udirayet, our very means of conquest from the material world. And we're on the chapter of Bhishma Dev's passing away, and the text number is 15. Yatra dharma suto raja
Yatra dharma suto raja
Gadapani vrakodara
Gadapani vrakodara
Krishno stri gandivam chapam
Krishno stri gandivam chapam
Suhrit Krishna stato vipat
Suhrit Krishna stato vipat
Yatra dharma suto raja
Yatra dharma suto raja
Gadapani vrikodaraha
Gadapani vrikodara
Krishna stri gandivam chapam
Krishna stri gandivam chapam
Surit Krishna stato vipat
Surit Krishna stato vipat
Yatra dharma suto raja
Yatra dharma suto raja
Gadapani vrikodaraha
Gadapani vrikodara
Krishna stri gandivam chapam
Krishna stri gandivam chapam
Suhrit Krishna stato vipat
Suhrit Krishna stato vipat
Yatra dharma suto raja
Yatra dharma suto raja
Gadapani vrikodara
Gadapani vrikodara
Krishna stri gandivam chapam
Krishna stri gandivam chapam
Surut Krishna stato vipat
Surut Krishna stato vipat
Yatra dharma suto raja
Yatra dharma suto raja
Gadapani vrikodara
Gadapani vrikodara
Krishna stri gandivam chapam
Krishna stri gandivam chapam
Surit Krishna stato vipat
Surit Krishna stato vipat Ladies
Yatra dharma suto
raja Gadapani vrikodara Krishna stri gandivam chapam Suhrit Krishna stato vipat
Yatra dharma suto raja
Gadapani vrikodara
Krishna
stri gandivam chapam Suhrit
Krishna
stato vipat
Yatra dharma
suto raja
Gadapani
vrikodara
Krishna stri gandivam chapam
Suhrit Krishna stato vipat
Yatra
where there is
Dharmasuta,
the son of Dharmaraj,
Raja,
the king,
Gadapani,
with his mighty club in hand,
Vrikodaraha,
Bhima,
Krishna,
Arjuna,
Astri,
carrier of the weapon,
Gandivam,
Gandiva,
Chapam,
Bow,
Suhrit,
well-wisher,
Krishna,
Lord Krishna,
the personality of Godhead,
Tatak,
thereof,
Vipat,
reverse.
Translation.
Oh, how wonderful it is
the influence of inevitable time. excuse me. Oh, how wonderful is the influence of inevitable time. It is irreversible. Otherwise, how can there be reverses in the presence of King Yudhishthira, the son of the demigod controlling religion? Bhima, the great fighter with a club, the great bowman Arjuna, with his mighty weapon Gandiva, and above all, the Lord, the direct well-wisher of the Pandavas. Kurna Prabhu, could you read the purport, please?
As far as the material or spiritual resources were required, there was no scarcity in the case of the Pandavas. Materially, they were well equipped because two great warriors, namely Bhima and Arjuna, were there. Spiritually, the king himself was the symbol of religion, and above all of them, the personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, was personally concerned with their affairs as the well-wisher. And yet, there were so many reverses on the side of the Pandavas. Despite the power of pious acts, the power of personalities, the power of expert management, and the power of weapons under the direct supervision of Lord Krishna, the Pandavas suffered so many practical reverses, which can only be explained as due to the influence of Kala, inevitable time. Kala is identical with the Lord himself, and therefore the influence of Kala indicates the inexplicable wish of the Lord himself. There is nothing to be lamented when a matter is beyond the control of any human being.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uttaparakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tham Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschatya Deshatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinamine Sri Varshabana Videvi Daitaya Kripadaye Krishna Sambandha Vigyana Daine Prabhave Namaha Madhuryo Jvala Premadya Sri Rupa Nuga Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostite Namaste Gauravani Sri Murtaye Dhinatharine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dvanta Harine Namo Gora Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambara Sambode Padambu Jayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sakshidananda Namine Gora Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gaura Virbhava Bhumestvam Nidesa Sajjada Priya Vaishnava Sarvabhoma Sri Jagannathaya Te Namaha Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tvishe Namaha Panchatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatam Surato Pangor mama manda matergati matsarva swapadambojo radha manana mohano divya vrindaranya kalpa durmada srimad ratna gara singha sanasta radha shila govinda deva prishtalibi sevya manus madami Sriman Rasarasarambi Vamshi Batatatastita Karshan Venus Vaner Gopir Gopinata Sreestunaha Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Sri Vrindai Tulsi Devai Priyai Keshavasita Vishnu Bhakti Pradi Devi Sachavachaya Namo Namaha Shri Nishringa Jai Nishringa Jai Jai Narasingha Pralada Desha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Pringa Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yatra Dharma Sutta Raja, Gadapani Vrikrodara, Krishna Sri Gandivam Chapam, Surit Krishna Stato Vipat. Oh, how wonderful is the influence of inevitable time. It is irreversible otherwise. How can there be reverses in the presence of King Yudhisthira, the son of the demigod controlling religion, Bhima, the great fighter with a club, the great bowman Arjuna, with his mighty weapon, Gandiva, and above all, the Lord, the direct well-wisher of the Pandavas? And, of course, we had read earlier in the Sri Brahma Sanghita about how the Lord energizes this entire universe with his kala, his time energy. And that the whole process of creation is, as explained in the beginning verses, up to about verse 21 in the Brahma Sanhita, where it's being described how tadroma bilajaleshu bijam sankarshanasya cha, how this seeds of the material universes are coming from the pores of skin of Mahavishnu. They exist in him as these like golden sperms covered by all the different elements. And this is the creative power of this magnificent form of the Lord, how he's just from his own body is expanding the universes, which are simply like a perverted reflection of the universes in the spiritual world, where Krishna says that there's no need for illumination or love by electricity or fire, because they're all self-luminous. And Chintamani Prakarasadmasu Kalpaviksha, they're comprised of like the most rare gems, Chintamani gems, and purpose trees are there in the spiritual world. Krishna's there with his cows, and this material world becomes a very confusing place, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. For one who becomes entangled in it, it's like a gigantic banyan tree. And he says it's impossible to understand where its beginning is, where its end is, or even where its middle is. You become lost in it, actually. And by the laws, inextricable laws of karma, then we become more and more implicated. And Prabhupada used to say that those who think that they're free or they're independent are simply crazy. And it's a fact. If we think, even in this society, someone might become a scofflaw and say that, well, actually, I can do as I like. But as soon as you do, as soon as you start breaking the laws, you'll be apprehended and you'll be taken before the judge. And it's not a pretty sight. It's actually for the soul to be taken in before the court is actually a sobering experience. I've seen it. You break the law, and even sometimes later, it can be years later or something like that, you know, it catches up to you. And you're punished by the laws of nature. And actually, it's very complicated. Once you become implicated with the law, even in America, where we have fairly, I wouldn't say it's not convoluted, right? where we have a fairly straightforward or system where you're supposed to be able to get justice. Of course, if you have more money, you get more justice. But the fact is, it's very complicated. Once you break the law, you can be strung along for months and months and years before you actually become free. And then there may be a residual effect. You know, you may be on probation, or you may have it on your record that you were implicated at one time and therefore you may be shunned. There may be even a rumor you went to court and you were acquitted, but still, you know, you were involved somehow. So even if it was acquitted, I don't know, maybe I won't touch him. And so there's very complicated laws of material nature also, and we become implicated in those. And so to say that I'm free, that I can do whatever I like, it's crazy. And in fact, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about following the regulative principles of freedom. It makes a lot of sense. Because the more you actually follow the laws carefully, you're attentive, for instance, to how you, in this country, take care of your visa application, if that's the case, or how you pay your taxes, and you keep things in a regular way so that there's no suspicion and there's no way that you can become implicated, then you're a lot freer than someone who's cutting the corners everywhere or blatantly breaking the law, because sooner or later you'll be implicated somehow. And when you are, then by the power of the law, you'll be taken down and you'll be forced to do things you don't want to do, like pay interest and penalties and be incarcerated or to be monitored, that you have to come in every month and talk to me to see if you're doing okay. That happens right here in America, in this state, if you break the law. What to speak of in the universe, these laws are inextricable. And if you break the laws, you become greatly implicated. And these are coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this Kala energy, this time energy, is all-powerful. Nobody can go against it. So you can judge when you go to a country that there is a strong government, when you see how the laws are being enforced. For instance, if you go to Singapore, it's very strict there. There's signs there that say if you bring drugs into this country, if you're smuggling, you will be killed. You start thinking, I hope somebody didn't put anything in my bag because I sure don't want to be killed. You know, and they do it. There are cases. They actually do it. And there's situations where, you know, there was some American boy there in Singapore, and he went on a rampage and he did some vandalism to some expensive cars, and they caught him. And then they were going to cane him. That's one of the things they did. They cane you. They take this cane. That hurts. You know, smash, you know. And so America was pleading, please don't do it. You know, the government got involved. This is, you know, how can you cane he's an American, and you know, all these things. And they had him down for 7 times. And, back and forth. Finally, they said, okay, we'll give him a break. We'll do it 6 times. Something like that. And they whipped him so strong. It's the government there in Singapore. You know that there is a lawgiver behind it. But you see how it's being carried out. In some places, the lack of government is there because, you know, it says bribe giving is illegal. But everyone gives bribes. It just goes on without any punishment and everything like that. So there's no real strong government behind it. And one can understand that, you know, is there really a government here? But where the government is there, there's a head and there's a system, then the laws are very strict and you can see it. And they're carried out. There's punishment. So in this universe, Krishna says that... he says, Mrityu sarva harashchaham. First of all, I come as death. Why is it that everyone has to die? We're forced to die. Not everyone doesn't want to die. There's songs about it. There's poetry about it. There's lamentation about it. There's philosophizing about it, about death. But everyone, no matter what you do, no matter what medications you take, no matter what kind of investments you make in this lifetime, you still have to die. Now, who made that law? That's a strict law. Everyone has to follow it in the whole universe, every living entity. So from that, we can understand that there's a government, that there's a strict lawgiver. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us this focus to understand where it's coming from. It's coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not an amorphous force in the universe that's just happening by chance, but actually Where there's law, there's a lawgiver, there's intelligence, there's a design, and we're forced to follow it. So this Kala energy coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we can see all around us. And just as when you get implicated in the law, you may be very whimsical, or you may be a punk and think that you can do whatever you want. But as soon as you're apprehended and you're taken in and you're put in jail and you have to go before the court, what do? You put on a suit and you go before the judge. You say, you know, how can I get out of this now? You know, I don't want to be incarcerated. And of course, it's not so, as I was saying, it's not so complicated. It's not so simple, even in the normal common law. It's not so simple. You can be implicated so many ways. Even if you're innocent, you didn't mean to do it, you might be implicated anyway. So finally, you have to throw yourself on the mercy of the court. And also, you have to get yourself a good lawyer, too. Right, Karanath? Really, it makes all the difference in the world. I've seen it. You know, if you have a good lawyer, like they say, I saw this on a T-shirt when he said, a good lawyer knows the law. A great lawyer knows the judge. Yeah, and that's true, too, actually. It's really true. You know, so it's not what you know, it's who you know. And when you get implicated in this material world, we're implicated. That's the fact. As you read Bhagavad Gita, and this is what Krishna is saying, you've become implicated. You've been victimized by the material nature. So now what to do? And he gives the advice, legal advice in the Bhagavad Gita available to everybody in the universe. Sarva dharman parityaja. Mame kam sharanam braja. Aham tam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami masucha. Throw yourself on the mercy of the court. You are so tied up in legal, you know, look, this is you, yeah, you're never getting out of this. 99 counts of first-degree murder, you know, whatever it is, it goes on. Now, that's just the beginning. There's pages and pages. How many lifetimes does it go back of implication in all kinds of different sins that have been committed by running, you know, through this world with eyes closed, thinking I can do whatever I want, and becoming implicated life after life after life. And it piles up. The karma's there. But, yes, twindra gopa matavendra mahosa karma. Bandhanu rupa palabhajana matunoti. Karmani nirdahati kintu chapakti bhajam. Govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. Somebody who takes shelter of Krishna becomes freed from that karma. Krishna will absolve that person. So he says, don't worry. You throw yourself on the mercy of the court. And then, of course, there's the attorney. You got to get yourself a good attorney. And who's the attorney? Huh? The guru. So we were just talking earlier that the Krishna recommends, get yourself a good attorney also. Tadvidi pranipatena priprashnena sevaya upadakshanti te gyanam gyaninas tatvadarshina. You get yourself an attorney. And then you go and you approach Krishna, and the attorney comes and says, here's my client. You know, he's ready to put himself on the mercy of the court. And you reduce his sentence. Please help him out here. And then we become free. Iha yasya hare dasye kamana manasa gira nikila api avasta su jivan mukta su uchite. Somebody in this position, although it looks like you're still in a material body, says Rupa Goswami, and you're still acting with your senses, because now you've put yourself on the mercy of the court, you followed the advice of your attorney, who has said, you know, listen, I'm going to get you out of this, but you got to be real careful. You got to follow what I tell you now. Now, first of all, don't go out and do it again, okay? Second of all, here's four rules I want you to follow without without deviation, because, you know, you're being monitored. Actually, the whole universe is monitored everywhere. We're under house arrest here. So it's like the sun is one of the eyes of the Lord. We just saw the other morning, Dainini Prabhu and I were going to the flower market early in the morning, and the sun was coming up, and we were singing these verses about the eye of the Lord coming up, and he's looking at us. Most people just like, it's in my eyes, you know. But if you look through Shastra, you see he's looking at me. You know, he knows where we're going. You know, the Lord knows we're going to the flower market this morning. And he also knows wherever else you may be going. And the moon, Yamaraj has as much power as Bhagavan. He's empowered so much that he can see through the directions, through the air, through the night, through the day, all the movements of the living entities recorded by power of Yamaraj. And if if you're committing some crime, then you have to be punished for your rectification. And so if you take shelter of the attorney, he gives you this advice, be careful, don't become implicated again, follow these four rules. These will free you. And then put your mercy itself on the mercy of the court, and without stoppage, take up this process. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram.
It's a rectification of the heart. It changes the heart from this proclivity to actually commit criminal activities, which are a detriment to our actual nature. And it, by association with the Mahamantra, which is non-different from Krishna, then it's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam that nihara iva bhaskara, that it's just like we've been covered by fog and then the sun comes out and it burns off the fog. And then we can see who we are, we can see who Krishna is, and we can act in our correct position, just like a citizen who's become rectified and ready to follow the law and lives a healthy life within the boundaries of the state. So this kala, we can meditate on Krishna's eternal time and understand that we're puny, we're tiny, we're being moved around by this time. Everyone's just being washed away. And this huge wheel is moving, says Prahlad Maharaj, that I'm not afraid, he says, of your fearsome form as Lord Nrsingadev, but I am afraid of this big wheel of time, this kala, this karma that binds, because, you know, the law is pretty indiscriminate, really. And if you violate the law, even if you didn't mean to, you can get in a lot of trouble. And this, there's cases and cases of people who have, you know, like there are cases of people who are innocent and somehow or other they went to jail. And then while they're in jail, they made some infraction. So then they got, you know, more sentences. Then they got killed in jail. And, you know, so many things have happened like that. It's rather impersonal in a way and indiscriminate, the law, because it just acts, especially now that we have these things called mandatory sentences, right? Like in California, do we still have three strikes and you're out?
Yes.
Three strikes and you're out, you commit two crimes, and then on the third one, doesn't matter what it is, does it?
No, they have to be...
has to meet a certain standard.
Certain kinds of felonies that count as strikes.
Certain kind of felony, but even if it was, the third one was maybe an accident or you were with the wrong person at the wrong time, it sets it in motion, and you get 20 years, mandatory. And the judge can't do anything about it, actually. Even if you say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to, it's like, that was your third time, you're in. You know, the laws of nature are like that. Prakrite kriyamana ni gunai karma ni sarvasha ahankara itiya me bina... Why, I've gone off. Prakrite kriyamana ni
gunai...
Ahankara vimudatma kartaram iti manyate. Yeah, I'm thinking through false ego that I'm manipulating, I'm doing everything I want, but actually it's the three modes of material nature which carry inextricable penalties for violating their laws. And that's the way it is when we're on our own, because we're independent and we have to fend for ourselves. But when we take shelter of Krishna, as Krishna says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sapada Mulam Bhajata Priyasya, Tyaktyanya Bhavasa Hare Priyasya, Vikarma yachchot patitam katan chid tunoti sarvam hridi sannivishtaha. If, however, you're surrendered to Krishna and you accidentally commit some crime, a transgression, we call vikarma, against the principles, if you're in the mood of surrendering to Krishna and that's your intention in this lifetime, if you accidentally make that mistake or you revert to that somehow or other, Srimad Bhagavatam, Karabhajana Muni says, Svapada Mulam Bhajata Priyasya, Tyaktanya Bhavasya. Because your bhava, your feeling is Tyaktva for Krishna, you're giving up everything for Krishna. That's what you're doing. You've thrown yourself on the mercy of the court. Then, Vikarma Yachchot Patitam Katanchit. Accidentally, for any reason, if you do some Vikarma, Dunoti sarvam hridi sannivishta. Krishna's in your heart, he understands it, and he will personally rectify it. You won't have to pay the penalty. However, you may get some, what Prabhupada once said was Krishna karma, means that Krishna will personally rectify you in a way that you'll become sober, so that you'll go on performing your devotional service in a way that is more favorable. So this verse is about how inextricable is the law of karma, and also the power of kala, eternal time, which is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we should become aware of it and know, as the Bhagavatam says, with every rising and setting of the sun, a day passes and is lost and is taking away our duration of life, except for one who is engaged in this bhakti bhajam, engaged in worshiping Krishna. Then we're gaining daivi sampat, we're becoming wealthy. And every living entity has a birthright, actually, especially human beings, to take this daivi sampat. So we're organizing here to go out and give people an opportunity to get spiritual wealth. And as Bharat Prabhu, he's not here today? Oh, okay, he's working for the Sankirtan party. They're all getting everything ready, right? Okay, so Bharat Prabhu was telling, there was two brothers, and one brother said, I gave a donation. The first brother gave a donation. And then the second brother said, I'm with him. Same family. And Bharat put his head down the way he does, you know, and looks back up again. And he says, yeah, same family, but different spiritual bank account. And the guy smiled and he said, okay, I'll give also. But it's true, everyone has a spiritual bank account. And also, Prabhupada pointed out that, you know, you may be in a spiritual society like ISKCON, not a guarantee anything, just because you joined, you know, you have some stamp and you say, this is how I'm in this society. It's your responsibility to elevate yourself. The acharya will give you the recommendation of what to do. But you have to do it. You actually have to apply it. You have to have your own personal victory over your senses. And you have to have your own personal taste, as we sing over and over again, Doyal Nitai Chaitanya, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you have to get the taste. It's your thing. And just because somebody else has it doesn't mean you're going to get it. So you can't use that argument, especially against Bharata. He'll find you right out and say, no, that was his account. What about your account? You put something in your account. So we're putting something in our account daily by following this process. We're avoiding the falling into this trap of the material world by following four regulatory principles. We chant minimum 16 rounds because this is the direct way of worshiping Krishna in this age, by chanting the Maha Mantra and being in contact with his names. And for our work, for our livelihood, what we do to keep our senses alive and to keep moving in the world the way we do Sankirtan. We go out and we spread it to other people and we give this message. It's a powerful message. It's not something that people are averse to. It's not a fundamentalist message. It's a beautiful message. We're talking about literature here, the symbol of all knowledge in these books that have been passed down through great acharyas. That if you put it into learned circles, for instance, if you took this to Harvard and you introduced it into the literature department, you say, take a look at this and you tell us what you think. Is this something fundamentalist, fanatical, or is it beautiful, aesthetic, and aesthetically pleasing in every way? And does the philosophy penetrate and go into all aspects of human culture, philosophy, knowledge, all different categories? And the answer would be yes, it does. Bhagavad Gita, renowned all over the world by the greatest scholars, and studied today by people all over the world in all languages of the world. So what we're presenting is not something insignificant. It's the greatest significance, and we get to do it. We're the ones. We've been given some service. So this is, we have our own personal prescription to do in our own home, in our own place and time, by which we can have our own personal victory and experience of spiritual life, and we get the opportunity for a livelihood to go and give this to as many people as possible by distributing books and giving people this message of good tiding coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that you know, take prasadam, eat food that's been sanctified, and your mind, your body, everything will become healthy. What a message is that? It's already the message that's going around. It's going everywhere. People who are knowledgeable are saying, no, no, eat a better diet. People in ignorance are going to, I won't say the name, Mick I'll stop right there. They're going to all these places. You know, it's ignorance. Everyone knows it. There's movies about it. There's writings about it. We're teaching same thing, only on a transcendental level. Eat prasadam. It's food offered to God. That's nothing better than that. You'll get something out of it. Read books that are connected to the spiritual world, that come from the spiritual world. I don't believe it. Just try it for yourself. Read the Bhagavad Gita and see if you can compare it to any other literature. Read the Srimad Bhagavatam. Compare it to any other literature. See where it's coming from. And you'll find out for yourself that this is something, there's nothing better. Yam labba chaparam labbam. If you experience it for yourself, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, you'll think there's no greater gain. I can't get any better than this. On the other hand, if you take anything from the material side, you're always going to think, okay, this is good, but it could have been better. But on the spiritual side, when you get a taste, actually, it means this is good and there's nothing better than this. Absolutely nothing better. But give me more. It'll ever increasing. Anandam buddhivardhanam. So by sankirtan, by spreading the movement, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, by giving it to others, by beating the drum in a big way, using, as we've been given in our modern age, through Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and through Bhakti Vinod, and through Srila Prabhupada, this drum, which in Bengal was used to go street corner to street corner, has been translated into use everything for Krishna. Use the computer, use the dictaphone, use the printing press, use your car, use the airplane. Whatever it is, use it to spread the vibration of Krishna consciousness so that other people can hear it. Other people can get this daivi sampat. And even a little bit, if they get even 1 cent, Krishna says, sualpam apyadharmasya, one little tiny bit, and their fear will be eliminated that they're going to fall back down again and waste the human form of life. So this is the greatest service. This is the greatest occupation, to be engaged in this kind of spreading of the knowledge of the Vedas through the cream of the Vedas, Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So we can be happy in life, take prasadam, and follow 4 regulative principles, chant Hare Krishna, distribute Krishna consciousness, and by the grace of the great acharyas and by the Lord himself within the heart, we'll come to know our actual eternal relationship with the Lord, not as we have it in the material world, where if you step out of line, you get thrown in jail, like we are now. But through our eternal loving relationship with Krishna, who's so kind to his devotees that even he'll drive the chariot of Arjuna out of love. Or for the Pandavas, he'll wait on them and he'll do all kinds of menial service because he loves them so much. And Krishna is Yogeshwara. He loves his friends so much. You'll find in the Srimad Bhagavatam that when Krishna was with his friends going through the forest, they were following their cows, they got away, but they followed them. You could follow the trail because they eat so much grass. And the long grasses, and you could follow. That's where they went because they everywhere they go, they eat grass. And so they followed that trail. They got deep into the forest. And as soon as they found the cows, a forest fire started. Just like now in Santa Cruz and all over, there's these big forest fires. Nobody can figure out how to put them out. They drop little drops of water on them. They just hope the weather changes. So Krishna's standing there and his friends became afraid. And Krishna, please do something about this. So Krishna said, everyone close your eyes. So all his friends closed their eyes. And one of the friends said that, why are we closing our eyes? And the other one said, because Krishna, he knows these special incantations. And he knows how to use jewels and things like that to do magical things. But if anybody's watching, they don't work. So he wants us to close his eyes. So everyone closed their eyes. And then Krishna swallowed the forest fire. And then he said, okay, open your eyes again. The forest fire was gone. Not only was it gone, but they had all moved back to under the banyan tree where they had started from. And all the cows were there. And they were saved from the fire. And on the way home, Krishna was playing his flute in a very magical, particular way that caught everyone's attention. And he's known as Janardana. And and back in Vrindavan, everyone was waiting for him to come back. And when they heard the flute song of Krishna coming back, out of separation, they became very joyful. So Krishna's Yogeshwara. He can swallow a forest fire. He can make all kinds of arrangements in our life that we can't even imagine. So It's recommended by Uddhava. He said, why would you surrender to anybody else? Why would you put your attention or your surrender to anyone else? You know, you could think of some people. You might want to surrender to John McCain, right? Or you might want to surrender to Hillary Clinton or to Barack Obama or to some. There's some other places you could put a lot of your energy and surrender there. But Uddhava says, why would you surrender anywhere else except Krishna? First of all, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The source of Kala is coming from him. He's the supreme mystic. And not only that, he's so kind that when Putana came to kill him by smearing her breast with poison, he accepted her as a mother and only accepted the good part. Well, she's trying to act like my mother, even though she was trying to kill him. And he gave her liberation, that eternal mother. So he takes the best part and he discounts the other part. So why would you surrender anywhere else, Uddhava says. So we can surrender to Krishna and we can feel his embrace in our life, and even amidst distress and reversals of condition, we will feel Krishna's embrace. For the devotees, when there's reversals, when things come that we thought normally would be very scary, to the devotee, it feels like Krishna is giving special mercy. Some cancer comes, and you think, you know, oh, now Krishna's giving me special impetus to become more fixed in devotional service. Or anything, whatever it is. If he takes everything away, then we think, oh, Krishna took that away. He relieved my anxiety. He took all that burden away. So the surrender process may have twists and turns, but we need to be ready at every minute to be conscious of Krishna and not forget him, because anything can happen in this world, even things that seem very dangerous, and it can happen even to devotees, as is pointed out in this verse, because Kala is so powerful and we're here now. Anything can happen. So we need 24 hours is the recommendation to be conscious of Krishna and to surrender it to him. And the very second that we forget him and that we become whimsical, then we can expect that we'll be slapped somehow. So best thing, as Prabhupada told one man who used to come to the temple in Bombay, because his son was translating Prabhupada's books into Hindi. And the father had a habit of smoking, and he couldn't give it up. So he asked Prabhupada one day, he said, Prabhupada, I need your special mercy to give this up. And Prabhupada said, you can get special mercy, but it means Krishna will make you so miserable that you'll be forced to give it up. Or you can just do it voluntarily. So we have that choice. You know, this is actually the joy of spiritual life, that we have that choice every day to make this this choice. I'm going to surrender. It's something that happens in time and space that's not ordinary. It's beyond the three modes of material nature. It's something where we hear knowledge, we get association, and then we can use our mind independence to surrender to Krishna, and then everything becomes possible for us. And if we don't, if we misuse it, then we become implicated. And we become another face in the crowd of the material world who's implicated. Oh, you're another prisoner. You're on lockdown too. There's nothing special here in the material world. Nothing to see here. Keep moving. But if you surrender to Krishna, there's something to see. That's something to behold. Someone who surrenders even this much, that's something that gets counted. So that's Sankirtan. That means divine intervention at every second in our own lives. And when we're going out to give it to other people, we're giving opportunity for people to take it, to make a surrender. And complete strangers, Krishna says in this in the Bhagavad Gita, a complete stranger who doesn't know anything about the culture, doesn't know anything about the philosophy, they may just be a little bit open, that's all. And you give it to them, and they surrender, and Krishna says they too become liberated. So that's who we're looking for. And by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's great mercy, even people who don't want to surrender, because of his loving method of spreading Krishna consciousness, they hear the Maha Mantra. And Prabhupada used to say, even if someone's coming through, for instance, a place where you're doing Sankirtan, and they say, there's that rascal Krishna man. They're thinking Krishna. So they get that namabhas. They get the benefit of thinking Hare Krishna. So it's auspicious in all its aspects going out to distribute Krishna consciousness and making it available to others. And if you give mercy, you get mercy. Om Tat Sat. Hare Krishna.